I barely slept that night. A new wrestling had begun, and I knew it. Yes, I'm aware of the Narnia quote of C.S. Lewis about Aslan. He isn't safe, but he's good. True, but I mostly roll my eyes when people toss that line around, especially when it feels like God is the one tossing the dice. Randomly, over the next few months, I started asking my friends if God is always kind, explaining to them the problem my heart had run into most recently. Once, when I posed this question to a respected Bible teacher backstage at a conference, she said, "Oh, sure. Well, we often define kindness differently than God does." And then she smiled that, like, knowing Christian smile that says, "I know it may not feel good or make total sense, but that sentence should actually make everything okay." As those anger goosebumps raised on my arms, it took all my self-control not to yell, "Do not come at me with two different definitions of kindness, ma'am." I nodded and held my tongue, but I am tired of hearing those sentences that are just tweetable enough to make me feel like I'm not allowed to be sad about my life, and yet leave me feeling that God is sad towards me because I can't just swallow those quips and get over it. Maybe if I could come around to defining words in a way that ensured I wouldn't be disappointed in God. Maybe if I could stop asking questions and simply accept my life for what it is. Then I could tweet those terrible religious sentences too and get so many retweets that it would make your iPhone spin. But I don't want to do that. I just want to know if he is or isn't always kind. I'm going to do my darndest not to say those cheesy, quippy kinds of sentences here, because I bet you're as tired of them as I am. I don't want to read or write sentences that only talk about who God is. I want to know him, really know him. And I want to know if he's kind. Our Bible study started one Tuesday morning on Rebecca's couch. We already had the book to read, Walk with God by John Eldridge, about prayer and hearing God's voice. Five of us gathered regularly to talk and confess and pray, just to find a place to be healed and be quiet and be seen. I needed it. I needed a place where we talked about the Bible and about what God was doing in our lives, but where I didn't have to be a professional Christian. My job, writing books and my podcast and traveling and speaking at events, along with being the most fun I've ever had, has also done some weird stuff to me, including making me a bit of a secret keeper. It's not that I'm ashamed of things or sinning secretly. It's more that I'm incredibly careful who gets to know my business and who doesn't. I lived in full-on self-protection mode for a few years. Often in this self-protective season, if any new friendship started, whoever was sitting across the table from me at the coffee shop would say, "Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I feel like I've talked the whole time." Because probably they had. I learned how to direct a conversation and carry it like an interview. And it wasn't until the very end of the, quote, conversation that my friend would realize I had only listened and never revealed anything of my own story or my own heart. Brilliant and brutal. My counselor and I talked about it a lot, how I was able to manipulate conversations so that I offered nothing of my heart. I knew I hadn't always been like this. I used to be an open book, and then I started writing books that get opened, and my heart began to close. But in this small circle of women during Tuesday morning Bible study, my heart stories began to unlock again. We would discuss what we had read, and Lauren would lead us through specific prayers. Something would always pop up, a memory or a difficult situation in one of our lives, and we would pray and seek God together for that story, for the redemption of it. We also ate great snacks. Our little group gathered a few times a month through the year, and as Christmas came around,